解决纠纷难道只能打官司？不用那么麻烦，上您传授三字诀 ADR 诉讼外纷争解决机制，像是邻居纷争、消费争议、劳资问题或甚至医疗纠纷，都可以利用 ADR 来解决，程序简单有效率，并且不用花大钱，方便、快速又和谐。遇到纠纷选择 ADR， 不必打官司，让你省时又省钱。
以上广告由司法院提供。
The Navy has taken delivery of two more Tuojiang class corvettes. The Anjiang and the Wanjiang are the last two vessels remaining in an initial batch of six. They are fitted with several missile systems that allow them to hit air targets and sea targets simultaneously. Though small in size, the ships are mighty and have been dubbed aircraft carrier killers.
掌声欢迎总统莅临会场。
At a ceremony attended by President Tsai Ing-wen, the Navy took delivery of the Anjiang and Wanjiang corvettes. As Tsai watched on, Lungde Shipbuilding presented certificates and models of the ships to symbolize the completion of the handover. Tsai led an inspection of the two high-performance vessels.
4 years ago, I 将第一艘高效能舰艇命名为
Four years ago, I christened our first high-performance vessel, the Tajiang Corvette. The Chinese character of Ta symbolizes our domestic shipbuilding efforts. Through perseverance, we can make a tower out of sand. Over the past few years, we have been committed to self-reliance and national defense. With every vessel produced in Taiwan, the process of christening, launching, and handing over ships has only become faster. It can sail very fast at a maximum speed of more than 40 knots. It has a shallow draft, allowing it to dock at fishing ports all around Taiwan. Its stealth design makes it hard to detect, and it is equipped with advanced and forward-looking automated and digital systems.
The Tuojiang-class corvettes are equipped with Xiongfeng 2, Xiongfeng 3, and Seasword 2 missiles that can strike aircraft carriers. They also have a 76mm cannon and a Phalanx CIWS weapon system, allowing the vessel to engage in close combat as well as target enemy ships and aircraft. The equipment makes them powerful for their size, making them an important force in asymmetrical warfare.
高效能舰艇不仅具有逆中性、航行稳定性。
These high-performance vessels offer stealth capabilities and navigation stability. They are the Navy's first small-sized ships with air defense capabilities. These features create a safer working environment for sailors in the line of duty. I would like to thank all our sailors for their hard work and efforts on the front line. The government will continue to strive for a modern, professional, and high-quality force and demonstrate its commitment to defending our nation's maritime borders.
With the handover of the Wanjiang and Anjiang, the first batch of Tuojiang-class corvettes has been completed. Construction on the second batch will begin later this year.
President-elect Lai Ching-te is on a two-month tour of Taiwan's industrial landscape. After meeting top players in the drone and chip industries, he arrived at Taoyuan on Tuesday for a meeting with ICT executives. According to participants, the meeting focused on artificial intelligence and how Taiwan can stay at the heart of the AI revolution.
The economy is the lifeblood of Taiwan's survival and development. Many think that we only have a semiconductor industry, but actually our ICT industry is even more robust. That's why I have this important responsibility of coming here to meet you all and listen to your valuable suggestions.
Ahead of Inauguration Day on May 20th, President-elect Lai Ching-te has embarked on a two-month industrial tour. Earlier on, he visited top players in the semiconductor and drone industries. On Tuesday, his focus was on artificial intelligence as he met with representatives of about 30 ICT firms. The meeting came after NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang declared Taiwan the center of the AI revolution.
Taiwan is the center of this new computing revolution, this AI revolution.
Lai said he was committed to keeping Taiwan at the heart of the revolution. Sources say he pledged to improve Taiwan's investment environment and help companies grow domestically. By providing the necessary utilities, land, labor, and talent, he hopes to create a resilient and secure business environment, enabling Taiwan to progress despite turbulent world politics.
The increase in electricity rates is going to put a lot of pressure on PCB companies, but we understand the move. The government has subsidized electricity for a long time already. We insist on three things. The first is innovation. The second is deeper support for the digital transformation. The third is becoming a country where the economic sun never sets by supporting our businesses' global expansion. That is something that will move us into the future.
During his tenure as premier, Lai had encouraged Taiwan-headquartered businesses to bring manufacturing back to Taiwan. One company that responded was Quanta. After the meeting with ICT reps, Lai visited Quanta's headquarters for a closed-door talk with company chair Barry Lam and briefings on the latest in AI and 5G.
Could Labor Day become a national holiday for all? A decision might be on the horizon. Speaking at the Legislative Yuan, Premier Chen Jianren said that the government was in discussion with stakeholders over expanding the scope of the holiday. A decision may be reached in as little as 2 weeks' time, he said. Currently, only private sectors get the day off on Labor Day, which falls each year on May 1st. Excluded workers include public officials, service members, and teachers in the public school system. The Taipei Metro will be getting some brand new trains from South Korea. The new train carriages have been redesigned to accommodate larger passenger volumes. They are also brighter and more accessible than previous models. The first new train is expected to hit the tracks in 2027, with another six trains to follow in 2028.
In the capital, many commuters get to work on the Taipei Metro, which is set to soon introduce new train cars from South Korea. Let's have a look through a virtual reality rendering. The two windows on each side have merged to become one large window, and the seating layout has been changed to one row of seats on each side. The first and last cars on each train have dedicated spaces for wheelchair users. The LED signs have been replaced with liquid crystal display screens, and interior lighting has been made brighter.
After all, there are a lot of people at rush hour. Having fewer seats could have an effect on how crowded it gets. The project is still in the design phase and small adjustments may be made later on. Since the COVID pandemic, everyone is very concerned about air quality. Since there is a large volume of commuters during rush hour, Taipei Metro asked us to install equipment to address air quality concerns.
Taipei Metro currently plans to procure seven trains, or a total of 42 cars. The first delivery is slated for late 2025, and the first train could go into service as early as April 2027.
The trains will be delivered through 2026, and they will all complete testing by the end of 2028. We will consider the operating demand in planning their routes. The interiors of the trains will be designed keeping in mind passengers' needs regarding spaciousness, mobility and safety.
The trains will be running on routes that have high passenger volumes, meaning that the trains must be designed in a way that allows a large number of people to board and alight with ease. This first sneak peek at the trains has given transport enthusiasts much to talk about.
A new documentary pays tribute to the life of the 228 incident victim Tang Dechang. Directors Huang Mingzhen and Lian Zhenhui spent 5 years on the film. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang spoke to the directors to find out more.
The documentary captures the life of 228 victim Tang Dechang by interviewing those who knew him. Tang, who hailed from Tainan, was a policeman, a lawyer, and a public security chief. He was arrested by KMT troops and executed in a park at the age of 40. The documentary took 5 years to shoot.
In Search of a Mixed Identity is not only a 228 story. I think it is also a story about Tang Dezhang's search for identity. We're seeing that Tang is not alone in this search. It's happening right now in Taiwan society. Today's society is also seeking its national identity. People who have watched the documentary have said, "I am from Tainan. How do I not know this story?" Some viewers said that after watching it, their heart was touched. They want to learn more about Tang Dezhang and related stories.
The February 28th incident occurred in 1947. Tens of thousands of people, including many Taiwanese elites and intellectuals, were killed or imprisoned by the KMT government.
The story of Tang Dezhang takes us to see what happened in Taiwan after the Japanese colonial era, 2 years after the war ended. After the KMT government came, why did the 228 incident happen? What happened exactly in that short space of time? If we know what happened in the past, it can help us make choices for the future. The response from the audience after watching the film was very enthusiastic. Their first reaction was that the documentary was different from what they envisioned it to be. It was not that sad or heavy. Just follow along with the documentary and explore this journey and history with us. After watching it, they laughed, cried, and were very moved.
Through the documentary, the directors hope to pay tribute to Tang while telling the story of a dark chapter of Taiwan's past. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Hu Chong-en in Taipei.
Former President Ma Ying-jeou will visit China from April 1st to the 11th, according to his office. The office director said that during the trip, Ma hopes to reunite with his old friend, Chinese leader Xi Jinping. The pair first met 9 years ago at a historic summit in Singapore. Responding to the trip's announcement, Premier Chen Jianren expressed respect for Ma's plans, but he urged Ma to convey Taiwan's mainstream public opinion during his meetings.
Former President Ma Ying-jeou will return to China on April 1st at the invitation of Chinese authorities, his office announced. His 11-day visit will include a stop in Beijing. His foundation expressed hope for a second meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
Of course, we hope that if we have the opportunity to go to Beijing. It's been 9 years since they met, and I feel that former President Ma would want to see his old friend. Of course, we will be guests there, so we respect China's arrangements. The two of them made history together in 2015, so we hope to have the opportunity to reunite with an old friend.
According to the director of Ma's foundation, Xi had said, until we meet again at the end of the 2015 Ma-Xi summit. Ma, too, would be happy to see an old friend, the director said.
No matter who he meets in China, whether it's Chinese students, citizens, or officials, former President Ma wants to convey the sentiments of the Taiwanese people, that we are a people who love peace and oppose war, and that we want cross-strait peace and exchanges. We respect former President Ma's right to plan his personal itinerary. With regard to the former president's request for security arrangements, we will provide the necessary assistance. I also want to ask former President Ma to remember the Taiwanese people's values during his travels, values such as sovereignty, democracy, and the rule of law. He should avoid participating in activities with a pro-unification overtone. I also hope that during his trip, no matter who he meets, however high level they are, he will convey messages befitting his position as a former ROC president, messages that reflect mainstream opinion in Taiwan.
Premier Chen Jianren urged Ma to convey Taiwan's mainstream public opinion in China. He also said Ma should notify the presidential office of who he will meet and not accept every encounter arranged by his hosts.
Miaoli County is running out of water. Its two major reservoirs, Liyu Lake and Mingde Reservoir, have dropped below 40% capacity. Officials say the shortage is due to scarce spring rains and high agricultural demand for water. The county government will now start to provide recycled water for public use.
The Water Resources Centers can produce about 2,000 tons of recycled water every day. We hope that our residents will make the most of this recycled water. Although Liyu Lake has more water in comparison, it supplies 600,000 or 700,000 tons of water to Taichung every day, an enormous amount.
From April onward, agricultural water will be restricted in Miaoli County on a schedule of 4 days on and 4 days off. The restriction will affect more than 1,200 hectares of farmland. Meanwhile, Nantou's Sun Moon Lake is also depleting fast. As a safety measure, local authorities have removed sections of two reservoir docks to prevent damage. The 2024 Penghu International Fireworks Festival opens on May 2nd. Now, in its 22nd year, this edition is themed on the Japanese anime series One Piece. It will also last longer than previous festivals.
Oh. This year, we have extended the event by a month, so it will last a total of 3 months. I believe it will draw a great many tourists to Penghu.
我想我们可以从我们的业绩原来的五六成再加上到两三成。
I think that our occupancy rate will go up from the usual 50% or 60% by another 20 or 30 percentage points. We're hoping for full occupancy this year.
这两年疫情开放以后，人潮还是往外走。那当然还是需要。
Since pandemic restrictions were lifted 2 years ago, the trend has been to go overseas. So of course, Penghu's businesses and business owners need to step up their PR game. That would bring out even better tourism results.
Before the festival starts, there will be trial shows on April 18th and April 25th, each presenting 10 minutes of fireworks. The festival itself features highlights like a one-piece concert and one-piece drone and fireworks show. And now for a look at a quirk of Kaohsiung culture. A team of volunteers carries huge pails of tea up Mount Shoshan every day. The tea is offered to hikers at tea pavilions on the popular hiking trails. At the grand opening of a new trailhead on the mountain, hundreds of hikers were out in force, and they needed lots of tea to quench their thirst on the peak. A representative of Kaohsiung city government took a turn in the tea-carrying team. He said it's a way people show their love for Kaohsiung in action.
The new trailhead on Kaohsiung Shoshan is officially opened. It's just a short stroll from the nearby light rail Gushan Station and has a large parking lot. Its opening attracted lots of curious hikers.
I haven't been here before. I always go from the zoo trailhead, so it's my first time here. It used to be hard to park the car if you came up here, but just now the place we came up was very wide, with lots of space to park.
Hikers familiar with Shoshan all have strong memories of its tea pavilions. These large pails of water are brewed into a variety of teas, thanks to the care of hikers. It makes a refreshing picnic spot. The tea doesn't grow on trees, of course. It's carried up the mountain by volunteers in pails of 20 or 30 liters apiece. Legends abound about the Shoshan Tea Team. Even the head of Kaohsiung City Sports Development Bureau had a go at carrying one of the tea caddies up the mountain.
It's not easy, it's tough, but it's a good experience. The Shoshan Tea Team carries love up the mountain every day. They're putting their love for Kaohsiung out there with their feet. I admire them. It takes strength, but also passion, I think. It must be quite a big sacrifice.
The Shoshan Tea Team has been going on for decades, but they still hold on to their mission with as much enthusiasm as they had on the first day. For any visitor to Kaohsiung, it's a distinctive sight to watch out for.
Today, we take you to hear a success story in curing malignant cancer. A 6-year-old boy was diagnosed with a rare cancerous tumor in his face known as spindle cell sarcoma. A hospital utilized 3D printing to map out his facial bones in an innovative treatment that they had never tried before. This technique allowed doctors to perform minimally invasive surgery on his eyelids and mouth, reducing scarring. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang has the details.
6-year-old Chen began to suffer from facial asymmetry 6 months ago. Although he had no symptoms of pain or numbness, a medical examination revealed he had a malignant tumor with a diameter of 1.7 centimeters on his right cheekbone. He was diagnosed with a rare cancer called spindle cell sarcoma.
At that time, I knew something was wrong because his whole face was very swollen. Then he got his diagnosis. Of course, it was devastating. It felt like falling from heaven to hell. And then we heard this on his birthday.
To accurately remove the tumor, the medical team used 3D printing to recreate the bones on his face, putting them together, just like a puzzle, to locate the surgical site. Then they performed minimal invasive surgery on his eyelids and mouth to reduce scarring. The doctors also utilized liquid nitrogen to freeze and kill the cancer cells.
Using the 3D printout as a guide, we determined the position and we placed it on the patient's bone during the operation and then made precise cuts. For the bones containing tumors, we first dug out the tumor in the middle. Then, of course, there were some remaining tumor cells. We used liquid nitrogen to freeze it to kill the cancer cells and then transplanted the bone tissue back into the patient's body.
Wang Tianxiang, a doctor with Taipei Veterans General Hospital, says it would have been much harder to treat the child if the diagnosis was made later in his life. Fortunately, Chen has now recovered and will be celebrating his 7th birthday soon. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Hu Chong'en in Taipei.